Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. In this episode, you will hear Paul DeMacroix share his incredible story of writing a book while fighting cancer and receiving chemotherapy. Rather than just give in and let life kind of slide by while he fought this and went through the process, he shared the lessons learned from his mentors in life, including someone I admire deeply, Ben Gay III. They have now gone on to write the much-anticipated The Closers, Part 3. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored to share the microphone with the most interesting business leaders who have wonderful stories to share and who are excited to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. In fact, my guests are so compelling and delightful and insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now and was also featured on MSNBC. Our topic today, how to improvise, adapt, and overcome. Paul is an entrepreneur. He is a business consultant, an expert sales trainer, and as I mentioned earlier, an author. He owns a consulting company and an international recruitment agency in Bulgaria, as well as a video production company in Greece, where he's calling from now. He works most of the time as a business consultant, but is also known as an entertainer and producer. As a very successful sales and marketing expert in the timeshare industry, which later expanded to other companies, Paul provides online and offline training to companies and individuals. Paul, good morning. Welcome to your Partner in Success. I think you're calling in from Greece, yes?
Hi, Denise. Yes, I am actually calling from Greece. By the way, I heard you mentioned Ben Gay III earlier. He just told me to send you his regards and love.
Oh, I adore him. I know you. In fact, that's how you and I met. You had listened in to a recent podcast that I did with Ben, and we got to chatting on Facebook. And I was like, would you please come on my show? And you were going to be my first international guest, but you couldn't book it right away. So I think you're my second or third international guest, which is very exciting for me. So I'm so excited to have you on the show. And thank you for sending me your book. I have a copy of it open. You sent me an advanced PDF. It's a fantastic book, and I wanted to talk to you today about so many of the things that you learned during this journey and earlier before you became ill. And yeah, there's just so much. I'm going to be peppering you with questions, so just be warned.
I love questions, Denise.
Oh, good.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say it before we dig in. Is there anything I missed in the intro that our audience should know before we start going, you know, deep diving here?
No, I think we're good. I think with the questions and everything asked, we'll just expand. By the way, my accent kind of flows from American to British to Greek, so bear with me, everyone.
That's okay. I speak Southern, so I understand all of it. It's all good. Okay, well, listen, I am going to let you take over the microphone. I would like you to start from wherever you're comfortable. I know you've got a great story, and you're going to carry our audience along with you. So I'm going to be very quiet and just let you go.
Okay. Well, since we both mentioned Ben Gay III, let me start by saying when I was 15 years old, and I do have a point to this story, but when I was 15 years old, I was shown, not handed, but shown, a copy of The Closers number one by my boss at the time and now mentor, Mr. Mario Dorizos. And I specifically remember asking for that book because he told me this is the sales Bible. This is where everything is learned from in sales. It's the number one book. And I wanted that book so much. And he actually turned to me and said, nope, you're not ready for this book yet, and took it away from me. I never wanted a book so much in my life. That was the first time I actually came across of who Bengay III was, and it was my first sales book I ever read, which he, of course, gave it to me later on. Now, may I add that I was a sales rep in the timeshare industry off-site at the age of 16, and actually number one in the company. Now, I also later on was given the closer's number two. As time progressed, I actually met Bengay III somewhere around 2014, I believe, on Facebook. I kind of got in touch with him after a series of going bankrupt and went bankrupt again. And he actually gave me advice firsthand. And it was very powerful for me. And as time went by, I actually made it. I got back up. I made it very well for myself. And then I got cancer, which you mentioned earlier on. And that's when I was, of course, we were talking with Ben, and he was giving me advice, and I wrote the book Success IAO. When I sent him an advance copy, he also wrote the foreword for that book. And it turned out that at some point I asked him, listen, I want to write a book with you one day. It will be an honor for me. And, yeah, as soon as I established myself as an author, I want to write a book with you. And Ben just turned around and said, you know what, let's do it right now. Because he had watched what I do. He watched the videos of me sales training or of me training people. And that's how we went to the closers number three, which you mentioned that's coming out. Now, I don't know if that was a good place to start off at, but this was just great for me. This was this was something that was surreal because this is somebody I read when I was 15 years old. so you understand this, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I felt.
I very much do. Very, very much. What I have to ask you, and I read the foreword in the book, and I read what Ben had to say, and, you know, he speaks very clearly about, you know, watching you on YouTube and that you're visibly ill a lot of the time, but that your passion and, you know, your gift for sharing what you know and care about still shone through that. It's an amazing story, and it's also a story of connecting. One thing that I have learned through the power of social media and, you know, the internet, which we didn't have, let's say, 10, 15 years ago, is the power to reach out and speak to people in different countries and, you know, different walks of life that you would not meet in your local Walmart, right? But you get to talk to them or connect with them. And what I have found out with these big-name people that you'd think, oh, gosh, you know, they're not going to talk to me, they're people, too. Don't be afraid of contacting them. My attitude, and I guess yours is as well, Paul, there's only going to be two answers and one maybe a different outcome, yes, no, or they'll ignore you. I find that almost always the answer is yes or, you know, a version of yes.
Well, Denise, what happens is successful people are actually, they're more open to helping you. See, successful people have been helped. They've had mentors. They value mentors, and they want to share success. It's mostly the people that that criticize them and say, oh, he's lucky, oh, this, oh, that, and don't take their advice, and they fail to see that, you know, these people have things to offer and share, and it's their own negativity and disbeliefs that stops them talking to these people. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. I think it's a fear factor, imposter syndrome, whatever you want to call it. But I have found almost across the board that if I reach out to somebody and, you know, do it in a proper way, don't just say, hey, by the way, can I pick your brain? Audience, don't ever do that. We don't want our brains picked. Just don't do that. It's a bad idea. but you know, if you reach out and you've communicated with them before, you've bought their products, you know, you know, communicated with them on Facebook, you know, they kind of knew you a little bit, you're going to have better luck. It's just a off-the-wall piece of advice.
Oh,
but
yeah, of course.
You don't want to just come out of the blue and go, hey, by the way, you know, I want you to talk to me today. It doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work, and you need to be sincere. You know, a lot of people, they spend a lot of emphasis, okay, maybe I should, you know, start talking to this guy and make contact, then in 2 weeks I'll ask this. And just be yourself and just talk to them. They're people, and you'll make the contact. And that's basically how you do it. There's, you know, if you try to plan too much and make a sales pitch, you know, these people are successful people. They taught sales. They taught success. They know what you're doing.
So exactly.
You can't trick them. There's no formula.
No, I call it spidey sense. We all have it. So don't try to trick anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, that actually is a wonderful story, and I'm so glad you shared it because, you know, here's the thing about sales. A lot of people, and I've made this observation to Ben, I think, as well, a lot of people say, sales, ick, ooh, I don't want, ooh, you know, it's just kind of a skeevy thing. The truth is, Paul, we are in sales every day of our life. I mean, we're selling ourselves on our resume. We're selling ourselves to ourselves to get our butts out the door and go do what we don't want to do. You know, we're constantly presenting and posing and selling. I don't understand why it has such a bad connotation.
Because people picture the car salesman or the door-to-door salesman and the pushy type, which is a bad rep, but that's not sales. Sales is politics. Sales is persuasion, as you very well stated. It's body language. And you know what? As you said before, you sell yourself to do something. It's the same thing with body language. Body language can persuade other people, but it could also change your mood. Your posture will change what you know, your mindset of that moment. And people do not really understand or comprehend the power of this. And that is something that is actually, well, it is obviously in the closes number 3 in great detail. A lot more is in there, by the way. But, yeah, sales is everything. It's from, you know, going on a date with a girl, if you will. It's everywhere. And it's needed. It's definitely needed. Whether you're an inventor, you got to sell your product. Well, you got to sell your invention. You know, if you're a shop, a manufacturer, you got to sell your product. You got to sell yourself. If you're somebody, you got to sell your idea on Shark Tank, whatever. It's sales. You got to sell yourself to your dream girl and make her your wife. It's sales.
Right. Well, and you said something very important, and that word that I isolated while you were speaking is persuasion. That's really what it's all about.
Yes, of course. And it's not enough just to learn the 25 cognitive biases off by heart. Persuasion, you know, it's just little bits and pieces. Okay, I was actually teaching this today. It's actually funny because I'm actually teaching a call center on sales as a growth consultant and trainer. And a lot of these people on the phone, they weren't doing very basic stuff, very basic elements of sales. And, for example, they weren't saying their name. They weren't asking for referrals. They were opening up completely wrong. And what I try to explain to them is every little thing you do might make you one sale more a month. Obviously, saying your name on every call will not get you sales. It will get you that one call, that one sale a month. But if you add them all up, these go to 10, 20, 30 little add-ons, and then suddenly you've quadrupled your production. And it's all these little small things added up. It's the accumulation, if you will, of all these small things that make miracles happen. For example, the Acropolis, the Great Wall of China, is doing something hard. All these little things every single day in the accumulation will do. We'll make that miracle. The accumulation will make you the best salesperson in your firm. And then people will say, oh, he was lucky. That was a miracle. It wasn't a miracle. It was just doing something hard every day and something properly every day. And the accumulation made the miracle. Does that make sense? It's just vital. And, you know, people don't, unfortunately, most people that read books or take programs do not take the advice that they read or learn at all.
I do know that. And you know one thing that I've noticed about truly effective salespeople is salespeople that don't give you the skeevies, you know, make you feel like, and I have met them. There is one particular car salesman. I'm not sure I'll ever forget that guy. I mean, everything you've ever written about a skeevy salesman, he was it. And I actually just let him keep pitching because I was so fascinated. It was like watching something bad unfold in front of me, but I had to let him keep going. I wanted to see how far he was going to go. And then I walked out with nothing, but it was horrible. It really was. But then I've met people that I respect them deeply because, and I think this is a very important part about sales, whatever your sales are, is that they believed passionately in their product or their service.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to sell it to you unless you really needed it. Is this something that you find to be true?
Yes, that's actually one of the quotes that I go by since I was young, and some churches, I am third, which is first is God, second is your customer, third is you. And that's actually one of the, main things you need to get into from the closer series. And I know I keep on referring to the closers. I have, you know, read a lot of books. I have been trained by a lot of people, but I usually refer back to that. And that's because that was the basis of my sales training. And hey, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, some churches, you need to sell what you're believing in. And yes, sure, of course, I can persuade someone to buy something I don't believe in or something he doesn't want or whatever. I believe that everything goes around and comes around, and I also believe that you won't sell as much as if you actually believed in your product. Yeah. So
yes,
I think
absolutely.
That's the most important thing.
Okay, I have to go back. We agree completely on that, but I have to go back to the very beginning. Why was Ben's book taken away from you? What did you do?
It was a natural takeaway. My trainer, I realized later, it's a takeaway. When something is taken away from you, you want it more.
You want it more.
Goes to the scarcity.
Yeah, okay. I thought.
Yes, that,
okay.
And it goes to the scarcity, and the scarcity cognitive bias. You know, you want something
Mark.
You can't have, or you want something there is less of, or something that is, you know, you want it.
I thought that was it,
so
but I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, and when I got that book, it made me read it like crazy. And the funny thing is, actually, I was actually given number two and not number one. I actually read number one after number two.
Really?
That I haven't figured out today. Till today, I think he either made a mistake and gave me number two first, or I don't know. But he gave me number two first. Even though he showed me number one, he gave me number two. I don't know.
Maybe he thought the need was, you know, that your hunger was sufficient. I don't know. I have both of the books as well. Ben sent me the books, and they're autographed. And I won't crack the spines.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go buy new ones because so I could read them and mark them and annotate them and, you know, fold down corners and do everything that you do to book. But the ones that he signed, those are gold, and nobody's touching those things.
Yeah, I have the copies as well that was given down to me. And, yeah, I'm very people, can I borrow them? Like, nope.
No. Exactly.
Is that a takeaway?
You can't borrow my car. You can't borrow my books. Right.
Exactly.
I totally understand. Okay, so let's keep on going. I keep interrupting you, but you're so fun to talk with. Okay, so I want to go a little bit deeper into your story, Paul, because it's an important story. I mean, you had cancer. You were going through all this, you know, the horrible things that are attendant with curing yourself of cancer, putting yourself in remission. You know, it's a lot of work. I have a friend right now who's going through what you went through, and it's mind-boggling. I just don't know how people get up every day and go through that and write a book. And I know you talk a lot about mentors, so could you go a little bit deeper into that story? What kind of held you up? How did you get through that, and what kept you just moving forward every day?
Sure. Let me start with the book. First of all, I kind of like working backwards sometimes. So when I wrote the book, as you said, I was fighting cancer. Actually, last year, I was in hospital getting chemotherapy. And I had aggressive non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And basically, when I was in hospital, I was going to write a book, sales book, yeah? But I felt the need to write what I know, to write what I believe, to get the message out there for a couple of reasons. Number one, just in case I didn't make it, I wanted to leave some knowledge behind. Number two, I knew that while I was fighting cancer, I had to do something. I had to work. I had to work on something so that when I bounce back, I won't lose time. See, if I sat around for about a year with chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant, by the way, and I didn't do anything, when I finally bounced back, when I was ready, I would have to start from zero. I wouldn't have anything. So what did I do? I utilized my time. I did what I had, what I didn't have time to do if I was well, if I was healthy. So I wrote the book I wanted to write. I studied day and night. I got online and started expanding my business online, or at least the foundations of my business online, learning how to expand online. I had a video production company, for example, and I didn't know how to do editing or anything like that because I hired people to do it for me. I was a director and producer. So I started a YouTube channel. I started giving free advice on YouTube and also learned how to do some basic editing, lights, and I'm still learning. So I'm a bigger, upgraded version of myself. So it's not kind of like I stopped. I didn't lose time at all. I expanded in different areas. Does that make sense? And that was very
important
for me.
It does, because, like you said, if you had been trying to run your day-to-day business and add a book in on top of that, that would have been more difficult. But now you had time to really concentrate on something that was clearly very important to you. So, you know, that's a gift.
Well, yeah. And I did run my day-to-day business. I just did it on the phone. I have very loyal partners and people that worked with me. I do admit that I did lose a lot. At some point, I could not hold on to certain things. If you don't do it yourself, it doesn't work, or you can't expand the way you did. Some things were lost. Hey, it is what it is. But I substituted that with new avenues, if you will, new horizons, new opportunities, you know, with what I did, with utilizing my time to learn and expand in other areas that I could. Because I couldn't go out and give a seminar. I had to wear masks, not get sick. You know, it just wouldn't work. You know, I'd probably scare people, look like a ninja. So, you know, with no eyebrows. So I had to kind of like change it up a little bit and see what I could do online. And also I was a bit scared that if I got sick, I'd have problems. You know, they kind of scared me. So I didn't really want to be around people because of the flu and all that stuff. And I ended up being in the house all day when I was out of hospital. It was like house, hospital, hospital, house. That was it. Very rarely would I get out. And when I did get out, I'd make sure there's no people around. So, that's basically what I did with the book. As a matter of fact, I was so dedicated, and this is what you need. You need to be dedicated. But I was so dedicated, at some point I could not write because I was also getting spinal injections. Of chemotherapy in my spine as well as in my veins. And that went wrong at some point, and I had side effects. I couldn't get out of bed. My head would get numb, and I would lose concentration, maybe even fall. So for 19 days, I was in bed. I couldn't get up, so therefore I could not write. So I recorded most of my book. I recorded on my iPhone and had it transcribed. You know, and that's what it takes. I hired people to help me. I could make websites, but I had to hire a web developer to help me because I just couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do it. I hired an editor, a very, very good editor, to help me with the book once I wrote it, to get things in line, because it was a bit fuzzy. It was a bit here and there when I wrote it, if you will. So, you know, I did whatever I could. Plus, I really wanted to help people succeed. It was there. That's my higher goal, if you will, and that's what came to me while I was in hospital and fighting cancer, and that's what I lacked before, was a higher goal, a higher purpose. See, I knew I wanted to succeed. I knew I wanted to do this. I was always a philanthropist, But now my higher goal is to succeed and help people succeed. And I know that path. I know what my goal is. I know what my inspiration is. I know, you know, it's given me something. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, when you're through with your thought, I want to go back to one of your first chapters. To succeed, first you must know what you want, and you're actually leading into that. So keep on going. I'll stop interrupting.
Yeah. I did not know what I wanted. I knew I wanted money, obviously. I knew a few things, but I did not know what I wanted. Now I have more of a vision. I have more of an end goal, and you need that. To the point where I will say that, as long as I can get old and die, you know, die with my friends of old age, but even not, cancer may actually be the best thing that ever happened to me.
Now, I know a lot of people will say, what? But it did change your life,
yeah,
didn't it? It gave you a deeper purpose. It helped you identify who and what you are.
Exactly. Exactly. It's given me a higher purpose. You know, a vision, a goal, a promise. I made a promise to God, you know, and that in itself, for me, is gold. It's everything.
Very much. So when I read through the book, and it's a fantastic book, I advise anybody in our audience to grab that book. And when The Closers 3 come out, grab that one as well. And if you don't have 1 and 2, definitely grab those. But when you were going through this and you decided to write the book and you wrote this chapter, because this is a fascinating chapter to me, my question when I read it and I wrote it down was, so how do people determine what they really, really, really want? I mean, so many of us start from a place of, oh, I want the big house and I want the big car. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there is absolutely nothing wrong with living the American dream or the European dream or wherever you are. You know, I don't think we were put on earth to be miserable. I really don't. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think how you approach it in many times is going to attribute to who you are and who you are at the end of your life. So I guess that was a long-winded way of saying, how do people determine what it is that they really do want? Because that's not a single answer question. I get that.
We can go about, you know, on this for hours. But hey, I will tell you this. One of my mentors, R.R., I can't say his name, is mentioned in the book. He told me something, and this is how. Okay, you know, success, for whatever success means to you, and I made that clear. But success is born from inspiration or devastation. And what I will add to that is it's usually the latter. So a lot of times what you want, what your goal is, what you want your success to be, will find you. It's kind of like your gimmick. You know, everybody has a gimmick in sales, yes, or, you know, or they should have anyway, and I actually wrote a blog post on this. But not to get too deep into it, you know, everyone has that something that stands out so you remember him, that will take it, you know, that will bring attention to him. I, for example, always ask for a pink straw. That's one of my gimmicks. Don't ask me why, but I always ask for a pink straw. Now, so that's the gimmick. It's...
You there? I think we lost you there for a second. Okay, let me check my dashboard here and see if he fell off. Paul? Oh, he's gone. He's going to have to call back in. So I will keep on chatting while he calls back in. And we've been talking a lot about Ben Gay the Third. So look up Ben Gay the Third. 1, 2, 3. He is actually known as the last living sales legend. I mean, I have had some fascinating conversations with him. And like I say, I met Paul through, you know, conversations that I was having on Facebook and, you know, just different places about Ben Gay the Third and about The Closers. So reach out. I mean, it's a very, oh, you're back, gang. And let me see if he's back here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just chatting away. I'm here.
Okay. I was thinking either, you know, the line dropped or I said something really stupid.
No, the line dropped. So you'll hear me just rambling in the middle of this conversation waiting for you to come back. I was saying,
well,
look,
okay.
You know, look these guys up, find Ben Gay, find Paul, network, connect with them. So, but I'm glad you're back.
So am I. The show must go on.
It must, yes.
So I kind of lost my train of thought. I think I said that that success is born from inspiration or devastation, and
you
usually
did.
The latter.
Right.
And it's kind of like it will find you. Many times it will find you, like it found me at a time where, I don't know, I didn't know if I was going to live. So sometimes it just has to find you. So what I suggest is you go on. Keep striving for success, or whatever success means to you, or whatever you think it means to you, till inspiration, devastation clears up your path.
And well, I have to wonder, and maybe
over.
This is just a human. I'm thinking this might be. You know, you said something that made me just kind of stop and take in a deep breath. But the thing is, so many of us just kind of wander around. Look, I'm guilty of it. I'm not throwing any stones. I am guilty of it multiple times. I still catch myself doing it. We'll just be kind of wandering around in the weeds going, oh, it's a pretty day, but we're not actually moving ourselves forward. And it's not to say we don't need those moments, but they don't need to stretch into days, weeks, years. But you're right. I mean, we kind of wait until the car hits us and then go, well, crap, that hurt. Now what?
Yeah.
And maybe it's a human condition, but I don't really understand it.
It's your environment.
You know.
It's the environment programs you that way. Okay,
well, I don't like
sure
it. I'm just going to say I don't like it none.
Well, most people, you see, okay, they say that the five people you're the average of the five people that you hang out with. I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
If you hang out with five millionaires, you'll be the sixth. If you hang out with five drug addicts, you'll be the sixth. If you hang out with, you get my point. So it's also your environment, your social surroundings that have you wondering, because that's the norm. That's the everyday norm. It's not everyone that wakes up or will wake up to have a success or to have a goal. But if they're listening to this channel, if they're reading books from Ben Gay III or Grant Cardone or anybody else that, you know, they feel they should be reading or to achieve success, that means they have a strive for it, they have a passion, they have a want for it, if you will. The thing is, what will wake them up to give them the clear picture? Because pretty much, you know, it's not like everyone's going to wake up suddenly and just think, oh, I'm going to become successful, let's do it, you know, and a car hits them and, you know, puts them into success. No, most people will not. So what all we can do is educate as much people as we can and help as much people as we can. And, you know, the ones that are on the path to success will awaken from that phrase or what I said before, that success will find you. Maybe I should rephrase that to, it will clear it up. Yeah, but you got to keep moving. And it is your social surroundings that will influence you a lot.
That makes sense.
You know, I can get on TV right now and say, everybody, hey, you know, wake up. This and this is going on. Okay, but unfortunately, I think everyone's being bombarded about how the crisis is hitting and how everything's bad, about how the economy is bad and how, I don't know, how Donald Trump does his handshake and all that stuff, rather than waking people up, because negativity sells, but rather than waking people up and trying to, you know, get some more successful people. But people are waking up. We're in an era that anybody can make it. There's the internet. There's this, as you mentioned before. And it will give more entrepreneurs and innovationists, if you will, the capacity is not the right word, but the foundation to succeed.
Oh, you're not going to get an argument from me. I am convinced, Paul, that the internet was made for me. It's all mine. I share it with y'all, but it's mine. mine. I totally understand that concept. Look, you talk a lot about your mentors in your book, and I think mentors are so critically important and you know, you mentioned a lot of names that I'm very familiar with, but mm-hmm. do you mind sharing some stories about how, you know, some mentors just really kind of either something you read from them or saw from them, but you know, how they kind of cleared your thinking, cleared the path for you? I'd love to hear some anecdotes.
Of course. Mentors are, I would say, the alpha and omega because, okay, in school you learn a lot of stuff from other people. You learn a lot of things from different people in your life, but your mentors, you know, they should be somebody that have made it, somebody that can guide you. Now, I want to change your question around a little bit, Denise, if that's okay, because a lot of people say you need mentors. A lot of people give advice, get some mentors, and then people mm-hmm. listening to this advice are like, how the hell do you get that? I'm not sure I'm going to say that, but how the heck do you get mentors?
There's one word you can't say, and you haven't said it, so don't worry about it.
Okay, then. So, you know, a lot of people fail to realize is this. Mentors can be found everywhere. Let me explain. First of all, books. Especially biographies, you can find out, you know, firsthand what people believe that can mentor you. I remember that people, Ben Gay III actually said this. He said, a lot of people ask me, you know, to teach them about sales and what I know, and I tell them, read my books. And, you know, it's true. If you really think about it, you can read books, yes?
Mm-hmm.
The second way you can get mentors is online. You got people talking on YouTube, talking in seminars. If you don't want to pay for them, there's the free things they talk about on YouTube, you know. And you can have an online mentor. I have quite a few online mentors. I have people I watch all the time. I watch Tai Lopez a lot. I watch Grant Cardone a lot. Lately, I'm stuck on Alex Becker, if you will. King Human, back in the day, with online marketing, even though I'm not into affiliate marketing, you know, King Human, I learned a lot from him. And, you know, all these people can be your mentors for free. And then, really, when you meet somebody that is more successful than you in the area you want to be successful at, you know, you don't have to go up to him and, hey, can you be my mentor? You know, hang out with him and ask him questions, and he will be your mentor. You don't actually have to say the word mentor, you know. Of course, you could. Some people will, you know, it'll be an honor for them. I got some people that asked me to be their mentor, and for me, it's an honor. You know, some other people might think you're a little bit weird. But, you know, you can still hang out and learn from them, and they can be your mentors in life. Yeah? They can become your mentors. If you study their work and you study what they write and you study the autobiography, it's almost as good as, you know, having them with you. And then finally, historical figures. You can have Genghis Khan to be your mentor right now. You can have
General Napoleon
to be your mentor right now.
Exactly.
Sorry?
I mean, yeah, look, I started reading autobiographies when I was very young. I started reading at 3. I'm a voracious reader. And, I mean, it's not unknown for me on the weekend, if I just don't feel like doing anything else, to read 5 or 6 books in one day. It's entirely within the realm of possibility. I love to read, and that's where I pick up a great deal of my knowledge.
I'll tell you a secret that not many people know. I hate reading. I used to hate reading. And
really?
It's only been lately when I started reading, and it's a funny story. Obviously, I used to read, but not to the point where I could say I'm reading. I think anybody that's reading less than a book a week is not really reading, okay? But, you know, my mentor, Mr. Mario, which was also my trainer in timeshare, and he's the one that gave me the closers and everything. You know, a few years ago when I was bankrupt again, I lost my nightclub, and it's a whole story. It's in the book. But he started having me read, and I remember this, this is a true story. He told me, I tried to read this book on stocks to learn how to trade. And it was all like Chinese to me. I couldn't read. And he said to me one day, and he pressured me to read. And then one day he says, listen, The reason you can't read is you don't know how to read. And what he did was he told me to first read the title of the book, then read the back of the book, then read all the contents about what the book is going to say, and after that or before that to read about the author to see where he's coming from, and then start reading the book. Now, I'm not sure to this day if that was a trick, if that was a psychological trick, or if that's how you're supposed to read a book, but since then I read books, and it's helped me understand them for some strange reason.
Right. I do it a little bit different, but I actually understand the psychology behind that because, you know, you're doing several things. You know, the title is affixing itself in your head. Like, okay, is the title catchy? Does it make sense to me? Reading about the author, now you're comfortable with him or not. You know, he may be somebody mm-hmm. you really don't want in your life, he or she. So, you know, that absolutely does make sense to me because you don't want your mentors, you know, whether they're physical, right in front of you, on the phone, on webinars. If there's somebody whose personal life is chaotic and you just kind of go, ick, do you really want to learn something from them? My answer is no.
Yeah, true. But again, it's a thin line because you can also learn from somebody's failures. Just as important as learning from someone's successes.
Good point.
You know, why
but if I don't like them, I don't like them. I don't care. I'm messy that way.
You know, that's actually one of the biases. We tend not to listen to people we don't like, and if we don't like them. I was actually talking about this the other day, actually. If you're talking to, let's say, somebody, right? I don't know, John, and you're with your girlfriend at the time. And with your girlfriend, you had an argument or a discussion with her, if you will, a few months back, and you got your point across to her. If she doesn't agree with that point, if John says something as an example that, argues with your point, even if she doesn't really agree or anything, she will take John's side. You know, just to get her point across again. And she will do this either knowingly or subconsciously. And it's the same thing. If we like somebody, we'll take his opinion more over somebody we don't like.
Right. Well, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of this. I mean, let's translate this into what's going on in Hollywood right now. Look, a lot of people, there's a no-fly list for a lot of people. It's like if you are somebody who is so vile on Twitter, Facebook. Let's talk about Kathy Griffin right now. She really stepped mm-hmm. over a line, whether you like her or don't like her. I personally can't stomach her, never could. But I don't think she's funny. I think she's a mean girl. But she stepped in it. She stepped in a big pile of steaming poo, and she's paying the price for it. But my point for that is that, you know, there are a lot of actors who are now at the box office, and people simply are not going there. Because they've been so vocal in whatever their sentiments are for or against the United States, for or against this particular whatever it is. And people are kind of, you know, voting with their, don't like you. They're voting with their wallet. Oh, I like you. I'll go see you. I will give you my money. No, I really don't like you. You're not getting a penny out of me. So there is that.
Denise, I'll be very honest with you right now. I'm not sure what's going on because I'm not in America. I'm in Greece, and I don't watch Hollywood. I'll watch movies now and then, but I don't really know. So I don't know I don't watch gossip or anything like that. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Partly because I'm in Greece, okay. But in general, I understand what you're saying though, and I agree with you. I'm just not sure of the current event, so I can't really elaborate on that. I mean, the most current event I know from America right now is Donald Trump, and I'm a bit late on that, so.
Right. No, Kathy Griffin calls herself a comedian here, and she's not in the strictest sense of the word, but it's a mess. Don't even bother to look it up. It'll just make your stomach hurt. It's ugly.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go to the trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, go do something pretty. Don't look at that. It's really bad. But people, you know, you do have to choose mentors, I think, that you really do resonate with, to get back to our original point. But I really like what you said about, yes, and you also need to learn from you know, they're failures. So I totally get that. I hadn't thought of it like that. So thank you for pointing that out.
Well, watch how, you know, empires crumble and get destroyed and then translate that to your business or, you know, yourself, yourself. You know, why not learn from other people's mistakes?
Exactly. Now, if they're just too skeevy for me, I'm not going to. I'll step onto someone else. I'm a girl. I have, you know, strong opinions, and my line in the sand is right there. Okay, so let's keep on going here. So, so anyway, your mentors, let's go back to a few really important ones. For me, a very early mentor was Wallace Wattles and Napoleon Hill. And then, of course, mm-hmm. Zig Ziglar. I mean, who can, you know, not list the great Zig Ziglar? I have to tell you, though, what attracted – I was at a garage sale years ago, and this was before CDs, I think. You know, I picked up this vinyl binder, and it had, I think, 8 or 12 cassette tapes in it. And it was 50 mm-hmm. cents. And you know, I was willing to spend 50 cents to find out what in the heck a Zig Ziglar was. I had no clue. Yeah, I just loved the name. I thought maybe it was I didn't know what it was. I got home, mm-hmm. popped that thing in the cassette player, and just fell in love with the guy. And he never steered me wrong, not once.
Well, Napoleon Hill, he has the, I think he's most known for the book Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, he's written a lot of books. I have not read all of them. Most of my experience with Zig Ziglar, Napoleon Hill, is from audiobooks and, you know, YouTube seminars, if you will, because a lot of times when I'm driving, okay, here's something you should know about me. When I'm driving, my music, it's non-existent. It's usually seminars. And if it is music, okay, I'll have some music sometimes, but it's usually seminars, things I can learn. Like today, I was listening to Grant Cardone. So in general, I have audiobooks, audio tapes, and everything like that, because a lot of times I just don't have time to read, or I just, be very honest here, sometimes I'm lazy to read. So when that happens, I will listen and watch. Okay. Now, this coming from a guy that doesn't watch TV. I just do not watch TV. I think TV is a waste of time. I very, very, very rarely put it on. I never watch the news. I think it's negative crap that just takes time out of your day, and you get brainwashed with all these problems instead of, you know, putting your mind at work or anything like that. For if I want to watch TV, the closest thing is YouTube, and I will be learning something. Or I'll be watching someone I like watching and learning from them, even if it's just doing a Q&A or something like that.
You're speaking my language. I don't watch TV. I don't watch the news. If I'm in the car, I'm either listening to, you know, something like you are, or I'm silent and I'm communing with, you know, whoever I want to commune with, my spirits, my guides, whoever, you know, I feel like talking with that day or listening to, mm-hmm. I should say. But, no, I'm with you. Turn that crap off. And I use that word deliberately because that is exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And or I'm visioning. I'm like living what I want to live in the future. Like I'm visioning doing something or teaching something or anything like that, which is kind of like daydreaming, but a little bit stronger. And a lot of times if you vision, you know, your future and what you're doing and you vision some problems, your subconscious, or at that point, even you will realize answers to those problems before they come up. And that's something I practice a lot.
Do you have an Audible account? Do you ever listen to Audible books?
I do not. I do have one. I'm supposed to give free, and I never downloaded yet. I'm usually given all these things. But I'm going to start right now. I'm going to start. I was actually thinking to myself, why am I not down? You know, I buy the CDs.
I know.
The content, whatever, and I'll listen
right.
to it. But I haven't used Audible yet, and it's insane. I don't know
why.
If
you do, you said something just now that made me think that you would really like this book because you know, you're talking about visioning and you know, kind of stepping into. You know, what it is that you want to create. And there's a book mm-hmm. that I've been listening to again. I mean, I've listened to it multiple times before called Psycho-Cybernetics. And it's Maxwell mm-hmm. Maltz and Dan Kennedy actually kind of repurposed the book a bit. It's a fascinating book. I truly listen, you know, from our conversation today, I think you would really enjoy that book.
I'll make a note of it right now. It matters. One second.
I'll email it to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, technology is
there you go.
Today again.
Yeah, but I think it. Yeah, but it fits right in with what you're talking about. It's a fascinating, fascinating book. Okay, and I'm like you. I mean, if I'm working, I'm either listening, because I'm a web developer, I'm always in front of, you know, my monitors and, you know, working on something. So I will either have binaural beats on, or I'll be listening to never fiction book. If I'm going to read a fiction book, I want to create the scene myself. But if it's a business book like this one, I'll listen all day long.
Got you. Well, right now I'm mostly listening to Grant Cardone, and I have different people I listen to for different things. Sorry?
Yeah, I listen to him as well. I follow him. I'm on his news list, his email list. He's great.
Yeah, I'm listening to, if not first, your last for the fourth time, because I find that different people have different different mentors or different people or different trainers, whatever you want to call them. They're good in different areas, and right now I'm listening to Grant Cardone because I think he's like advice for business people, entrepreneurs, and right now since I'm growth consulting a company, it's kind of like reminding me what I'm talking to them about. But also he talks about sales a lot, which is also at the same time I'm training their teams. So it's kind of like, okay, I'm listening to him again and again, and I'm remembering things, and you know, you always have to stay sharp and in front of your game, and yeah, that's basically what I'm listening to right now. That along with 10X again, maybe the fifth time, after I finish with this audio audio package I have in the car. But yeah, that's basically what I'm, you know, listening to right now. Another people I follow as well is because of YouTube. Because I like YouTube, it's very powerful. It opens up a lot of avenues. So I'm listening to a lot of Nick Niman and Owen Video, Brian G. Johnson, and those guys. And that's opening me up to, well, you know, expanding on YouTube, if you will.
Yeah, I do a lot of that as well. I tend to want to listen, and I want to read. And that's just how I learn best. Videos, I don't watch them. I will listen to them, but I don't actually sit there and watch them. I'm always doing something different. But, you know, we all learn. One thing about how we learn is that once we identify that, then we can go get what we need.
According to Google, by 2019, 90% of the internet will be video. So heads up.
Thank you. Scary, but thank you. Okay. All right, so, oh my gosh, we've only got about 10 more minutes. Okay, and, you know, I feel like I've interrupted you more than I've let you just kind of talk, but you really are fascinating to chat with. So let me give you the opportunity to go where you want with this conversation. What do you think the audience really, really needs to know right now?
They need to know how to get lucky. And I know it sounds weird, what I'm saying, and I'll explain what I mean. You got to get lucky. All successful people are lucky, but let me explain what luck is. Okay, luck is basically opportunity meets preparation. Preparation meets opportunity. Now, let me explain. I'm going to share a story of mine. So when I was bankrupt a couple of times ago, okay, I had no money, and I remember Mr. Mario told me, you know, you gotta get a job. You gotta do this. You gotta search. You gotta read. And I was watching a lot of people on YouTube. And at some point, I came across a guy called King Human. And King Human had advice back then of looking at Craigslist and doing some business with Craigslist. Now that got me thinking. I went on Craigslist and I studied what's going on in Greece. Now I saw that there was a couple of tour guides only in Greece. And I saw their pitch. I was like, okay. So I actually put my own offer on there. Now, me being an ex-bodyguard, I wrote, ex-bodyguard will show you around Greece, or something along those lines. And I also wrote, because you're not allowed to be a tour operator in Greece if you don't have a license, I didn't want to get in trouble. I said, why go to a tour guide? And why go to a tour guide when you can have a local to show you around, you know, and not tell you what Google will tell you, will show you around real life in Greece, blah, blah, blah. And I actually had people calling and actually, you know, getting in contact with me to show them around Greece. And I was making some money, about 50, 100 euros a day, which wasn't bad. It wasn't every day, but it wasn't bad. Now, that's when RR contacted me. That's how I met RR. So when he came to Greece, and I'll never forget this, you know, he was a multimillionaire. And to make a long story short, he came a couple of times. I showed him around a couple of times. I made a lot of money. He was a great tipper. I mean, I think he tipped me 1,300 euros one time. And that's how I bought my car back, and along with some other money. But what happened was, he then asked me to find him some riggers, if I can find him some riggers for companies. And I said yes. I didn't know what riggers were. They're the people that level CNC machines. But I said yes, because I remembered Grant Cardone say, commit to everything, then figure out how to do it later. So I said yes, and then I went through my phone and called every single number I have because of the six-person rule that you know somebody that knows somebody that might know Obama. And I went through my phone and actually found somebody, which was a director, for example, in movies. He didn't even have anything to do with engineering or anything like that. And he knew somebody that had six riggers. So suddenly I made 5,000 euros just finding these people. Then he told me he needs engineers, and he would pay me their first salary. Now, engineers' salary, like a recruitment agency, a person's salary in engineering for what he wanted was something like $5,000 to $15,000. In euros, it comes out to – it doesn't really matter, you're in America – but I found them. I found people, engineers. I think he hired about 15 of them. And that's how I bounced back when I was bankrupt and I was making six figures and everything. So this was luck. But was it? See, if I wasn't looking for opportunities online and didn't go to Craigslist like King Human said, you know, I wouldn't have seen this. I wouldn't have seen this opportunity. If I didn't just put the ads and try to see what happened, I wouldn't have, you know, got the opportunity yet again. And if I didn't know about how to ask and act on luck, on opportunity, whatever you want to call it, if I didn't, you know, read what I read, studied what I studied, I probably wouldn't have impressed him enough for him to ask me for these people and give me this chance. Does that make sense? So you make your luck. You make your opportunity. You make it happen to you. Yes, successful people are lucky. They got lucky. But how did they get lucky? And that's what you have to listen. That's what you have. They were lucky because they knew how to sell and sold a product that somebody else, you know, they stumbled upon. Or they got an idea and somebody told them an idea and they sold this idea. Yes, but they knew how to sell. They knew where to look for the idea. Does that make sense?
Right. It really does. And have you ever noticed, Paul, that the more grateful you are for these opportunities, for these things that, as you say, just kind of stumble into your lap or fall into your lap, the more mm-hmm. grateful you are, the more you express that to the heavens. Or, look, I will go outside frequently. I have these gorgeous pecan trees in my backyard. I will frequently go out there, take my shoes off, dig my toes into the earth, ground myself to the earth, and just say mm-hmm. thank you. And every time I do that, I feel better and life gets better for me almost instantly. Not that my life is bad.
Yes.
It is not. But opportunities start popping up. I say yes to some. I say no to some. But if I'm not grateful, things just kind of screech to a halt, don't they? So that I think that's part of being lucky as well.
Every single day, some people call it affirmations. Some people call it, you know, saying thank you to the universe. I call it praying because I'm religious. I thank God every morning, and I pray every night. And I'm grateful for everything that I have, even whatever that I went through. And I think I have not, ever since I remember myself being a kid, I have not prayed or maybe missed a prayer five times in my life, maybe, if that. And that's when, you know, I either passed out drunk at the bar or or something like that.
Gotcha.
I can't remember. I'm just saying. Maybe that happened. Maybe it didn't. All I'm saying is, as much as I can remember, I've always prayed. Even
right.
in hospital,
right.
everywhere.
Oh, of course. You know, my attitude is, and I didn't say this, somebody else did, and I kind of took it as my own, but as far as I'm concerned, every breath is a prayer. Every breath is a, you know, it's an opportunity to say thank you to whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just,
exactly.
if you don't have that, you don't have much, I don't think. Paul, thank you so much for being with me here today. I have thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you. I guess you can tell.
Oh, it was great. I wish we had more time, to be honest with you, Denise. I can go on for hours.
Well, actually, I would love for you to come back again. Once the book is out, maybe I can get you and Paul. You are Paul. Maybe I can get you and Ben to come on at the same time.
That would be awesome. That would be great.
Definitely.
By the way,
we'll
have
do
you
that.
Seen, let me, before you click off, let me just say two things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is you don't find success, you create success. That's something I want to leave everybody with. And the second thing is, have you seen Baby Boss yet?
I have not.
It's a cartoon.
I'm really. Is it a cartoon?
It's a cartoon.
If it's in a theater, I won't see it because I hate theaters.
I don't know, but this is a bit off. It's nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's called Baby Boss. It's about a baby that's a closer. I haven't seen the movie.
Oh.
But it's like, put those cookies down. You know. Cookies are for closers. Anyway, I just want to say that somebody gave me, well, my girlfriend gave me this baby doll of Baby Boss, and the doll looks, you know, probably exactly what Ben would look like as a baby. So,
you know he's listening,
anybody's
right?
Anybody's wondering what he looks like. So if anybody wonders what Ben looks like, please watch Baby Boss, but the doll, not the movie. The doll looks
right.
exactly like it. I'm serious.
You know, I have to go look for it as soon as we're off of this. I have to go find it. So. Well, listen, Paul, before we go, where can people find you on the web? Your links are in my show notes that people are going to be listening in iTunes and Stitcher and in their car, and they won't be able to find those. So just give us a quick idea of where we can find you.
Okay, so just my name, which is probably the hardest thing for somebody to write down right now, but PaulDemocritus.com would be the best place. But you know what? Success IAO is the book title. If they actually put successiao.com, that will actually link to a landing page on my website, and they can find everything from there. I think that's the easiest way. For, you know, a non-Greek to remember my name is probably an impossibility, almost. So
well, it's not Smith or Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Paul, thank you so much. And as always, this podcast hour went way too fast. And I thank you for all of the wonderful stories and the tips and the advice that you've shared with our audience. And I look forward very much to welcoming you and Ben, or, you know, both of you together or individually. All of that works for me. So today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. If you are looking for full-on business creation services such as web development, virtual assistants, online business management, social media marketing, and just about anything else you can come up with, please visit Your Office on the Web. And be sure to look for us in iTunes, rather. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Paul, thank you. It has been a genuine pleasure.
Thank you, Denise. Likewise. Thank you very much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
18. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.